want to first of all give honor and glory to God. I want to thank the elders for allowing me this opportunity to come once again to stand before you and hopefully say some words that might encourage you on our journey from here to heaven. The congregation in Louisville, my family in particular, are very grateful for you, for the eldership here, for your great zeal in supporting the efforts there. Just to give you a quick update on what's going on, since the last time I was here, I guess, which has been about 17 or 18 months, we've had 5 baptisms there in Louisville. And notice I did say we, so that includes you as well. Because of your efforts and your love for us and for the work that we're doing there, there are 5 precious souls that have been added to the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 of those precious souls, young kids, teenagers, they've moved to Florida. We talked to them this past week. They should be worshiping with the congregation that meets there in Jacksonville. 3 others, Miss Gwen and Roosevelt, and I should never call names. Young man we just baptized about 3 months ago, Curtis, Brother Seals. They're still there with us in Louisville. They're very faithful. I don't think you can count the times on your hands. They might have missed a service. I don't think Gwen and Roosevelt have ever missed a service, except for illness. So the work is growing, it's slow. You know, the Augusta area, which we don't officially live in Augusta, we live in Hepzibah, about 25, 30 miles, I guess that's south of Louisville. The work is growing, but it's a slow progress, and we thank you for all of the help that you provide in making us available to preach the gospel to that area there. You know, we want to talk to you, and my wife got on me last week in my sermon. She said it was too short. So I'm going to try to make this sermon a little longer. I have a habit of trying to cut my sermons as much as possible. I think that Jesus, and I told you a couple of times before when I was here, his greatest sermon, at least one of his greatest sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, can be read in about 15 minutes. And it packs a powerful punch. I'm sure I'm not going to say nothing in the next 10 or 15 minutes that's going to be as impactful, but I hope that it will try to spur you on. I want to talk to you this morning about invitations. You know, I was glad to get an invitation to come here the very first time. And each time after that, I think this is the 5th time, I've been just overjoyed. It's a privilege to be invited somewhere to preach and speak the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in my case, to be asked back for a repeat performance, that is surely a blessing. That doesn't happen a lot. So I don't know whether to pity you or to be very sorry for you or what, but I'm glad for the opportunity. Some of you here will not be back this evening, unfortunately. You've been invited back, whether you know it or not. I'm sure the elders and the deacons and others here, Bible school teachers, have went out of their way to invite you to come back and be here again this afternoon. I'm sure that there's always a standing invitation for you to be here at every service. Invitations are important. It's important that we look at our being invited as something special. I have a special request, and it's that you look around, and if you notice folk who would normally be here and they're not here, that you may need to reach out and re-invite them, re-ask them to come here. Maybe some out of town, traveling this time of year, checking on things, and that's to be understood. But there's no harm in re-inviting. That's what God is in the business of doing. God is constantly calling or asking folk to come over and over again. That's what he does. We can see in Genesis chapter 7 at verse number 1 that he implores Noah to come to a place of safety. He invites him to come there inside the ark for refuge, as we read. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Imploring and begging him to come in, nor deserve to be there, so God decreed. He asked us to come to fellowship one another. And that's what I was saying earlier. You know, it's a great thing to come here and fellowship with us. Not just this morning, but this afternoon. Not just this afternoon, but Wednesday, or whenever the elders might deem it necessary for us to come and be fed God's word. We can read in Numbers chapter 10 in verse number 29, these words of Moses. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Rakuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. God has spoken good concerning his church. We want you to come along with us to join just not the Sunday morning fellowship, but you're invited to join every fellowship, to be here at every opportunity. Why come? Come for the idea of being personally cleansed by God. Listen to these words that Isaiah wrote in the years and years ago, Isaiah chapter 1 at verse number 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's just an awesome invitation. To come so that we might be cleansed of sin. You know, it's our responsibility as the Lord's church, according to Matthew 28, beginning there at verse 19, it's our responsibility to extend this invitation to others, to be out busily encouraging them to come for the cleansing that only God affords. They need to come and be fed and filled as only God can fill one. Listen to these words once again in Isaiah at chapter 55. At verse number 1, we find these words. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Isn't it a great treat knowing that the price has already been paid? As Ken reminded us, the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has paid the price for you and I. Come and you will receive a satisfying portion, a portion of salvation. Come if you're tired and you need rest. Jesus tells us these words in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 11 at verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to pause here just for a moment and maybe shift gears just a little bit. Jesus came from heaven as God's ambassador, in a sense, further inviting us, all of us, to be where God wants us to be, with him in heaven. That's a standing invitation for you and I. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 22, Jesus talks there about a parable, gives us a parable there. I want to read just a portion of that into your hearing, beginning at verse number 1 of that 22nd chapter. Matthew chapter 22. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to come to the wedding, that they, and of course they would not come, he says. In verse 4, again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fattings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But as we said earlier, verse number 5 once again, but they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Verse 9, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out unto the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. The beauty of an invitation. I had several nieces to get married and nephews over the past couple of years, and I just love getting invitations. You know, these invitations now, not as in my day and time, you know, when I got married 30-some-odd years ago, you know, they have little placards. You can stick them on your refrigerator, remind you. Save the date. Remember the wedding date that's coming up. They want you there. And they want you to RSV a lot of times. And they're attached to that RSV, you know, that they want you to call to let them know whether or not you're coming. That's important. Food is going to be prepared. Things are going to be bought. And we send out 500 invitations, and we prepare for 500 people, and only 100 show up. We need the warning. There's a scripture in the Bible that says the grave or hell has been enlarged. I never have read a corresponding passage. I know that in John's gospel in chapter 14 that our Savior has gone away to prepare a place for us. I believe it prepared people. But I never have read a corresponding passage about how he's had to increase it. Invitations are important. The devil is in the details. Did you notice in that parable, they're right toward the end of the parable, that there was someone who came to the wedding, but they were not properly dressed. They didn't have on the right garment. They weren't clothed the way they should have been clothed. Now, a lot of folk have taken different twists and spins on this parable. My understanding, of course, is that the Jews first received the truth. But the nation of Israel just did not do the things that God would have them to do. And so now God has us, the church. As I said earlier in Matthew 28, he's imploring us, his disciples, to go out and to continue to invite folk to come to the feast. All things are ready. Everything is prepared. How about you and I? Are we ready? Are we prepared? Invitations are important. On those invitations that I've received from my nieces and nephews and others, they have a time there. The time is important. No, it would be bad for me to show up here after having been invited to be here today on the Lord's Day, for me to show up Monday looking to preach. That just wouldn't cut it. I can hear Art right now. Let me move aside. The trap door might spring open. we have to be very mindful. Time is important. Now is the time. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the Lord's church, the eldership here, the brethren and sisters here would love for you now, this time, this moment in space, to become a member of the Lord's body, a Christian. Now is the time. Times are important. The place is important. It would have been sad for me to show up this morning in Nashville and not Saudi Daisy. Man, what a terrible mistake. The place is important. The place that you need to be in is the Lord's church. It's important to be a member of his church. It's what he promised to build in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. We remember the grand confession that Peter made about our Christ. It's his church. He purchased with his blood, the Bible teaches us. It's important. As Ken said once again, it's the bride of Christ, as Paul so beautifully shows us in Ephesians chapter 5. The place is important. You know, a lot of times, I'm a casual guy. You know, a lot of times, I'm a blue jean wearing guy. I have three pair of blue jeans and maybe one pair of casual dress khakis. I just love jeans. Very comfortable. But dress is important. When you go to a place and you've been invited and the invitation says on it, suit and tie, you ought to wear suit and tie. If it says no suit and tie, when my son got married, we sent out the invitations. There was no need for suit and ties. He wanted to have a casual wedding there in our backyard. We encourage everyone to wear khakis and a nice summer shirt. And to go shoeless if they wanted to. I never have quite got that one. But that was the idea. Invitations contain within themselves that dress code, how we want you to dress. There was someone at that wedding that we read about in Matthew 22, and you can look as well as in Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 15, and read about the same wedding feast, who was ill-dressed. I mean, it seems as if maybe he got the time right. The time is now. He got the place right. He was there at the wedding feast. You're here this morning at the right place, at the right time. But are you dressed properly? What's the proper attire? Being dressed in Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27. For as many of you have put on Christ, have been baptized into Christ. You need to be dressed in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Invitations are important. The invitation says to us this morning to hear the gospel, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to repent of your sins, to confess faith in Christ with your mouth, and then to be dressed properly, to be baptized into his body, and then to serve him faithfully. Maybe there are some here this morning who need to respond to that invitation. I beg you, please do so as we stand and sing the song.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely.